Right, so, well, you're keen, aren't you, tonight? You want to get going?
I want to get this show done. I want to talk about beating the Blues scum.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, but I'm watching the Wigan game, and you're calling saying, let's get going. You've got to watch them because there's so many intricacies of what could happen. You know, you're like, well, if we can win this, you know, they'll be up. They won't beat Chelsea because they never win two games in a row. But then if they lose to Chelsea, then they might beat Arsenal, because if they beat Chelsea, they won't beat Arsenal. Yeah, permutations of what might happen. It's amazing, isn't it?
I know. I was the same. I was sitting going, right, you know, if they don't win here, that means Stoke City are safe. So it sort of means Stoke probably won't be up for it at the weekend. And well, it's just doing my head in. But
and then you've got Newcastle.
Yeah.
Because if they drop into the bottom four, bottom three, then they'll be well up for the last game of the season. And then you've got Sunderland the night before. And, you know, watching that, I'm in so much trouble. I've been watching so much telly. Like, the wife's like, what are you watching? I've never even heard of these teams. I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying to explain. If Villa win, then they won't be up for the game at the weekend. And then oh, God.
Just sounds like my house, too.
Oh, I'm in trouble. You mean the Hotspurs podcast?
Hi, this is Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspurs podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 7th of May, 2013. I'm Steve, I'm in Northern Ireland. We've got Colin in Essex. How are you doing, Carl?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm loving it over here in Essex.
Yeah.
The weather's fantastic.
Oh, I get that. We've merged into one person. I can't... I've been doing a show for so long. It's crazy. Right, I've got some brilliant news for you. Just before we get into it, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about a Southampton game. Then we got a poem from the Spurs poet. God, he's getting famous, isn't he, the old Spurs poet?
Oh, yes. Right. Famous man.
He's going to be on the pitch being interviewed by Coity next, isn't he, Paul Coit. Then we're going to do a couple of shout-outs. We've got fantasy football and we've got Chelsea. So Spurs and football all the way. A little bit of Sir Chesney or whatever his name is mixed in there. A bit of Arsenal, digging out Arsenal and... bit of sticking up for AVB as well, but we'll see how we get on. Right, first story though is young Gemma Stubbles, who was our best guest of all time, obviously, last week. Absolutely fantastic, not only because she was so delightful to speak to, but because of her knowledge about Spurs beats mine and yours and everybody else that ever listened to the show. Absolutely fantastic. Right, here's the news about her. So I get into school the next day, her mum comes up to me, and by the way, I haven't told Colin this, I've kept it as a secret. And she said, oh, my Gemma is made up, absolutely made up. And I said, well, thanks very much. You know, it's nice being on the show and everything, having a chat. She said, no, not about that. I got a call from a lady at Tottenham, because she's a member of this one Hotspur thing. On the last day of the season, she's been asked to go on the pitch at the end of the game and present the Player of the Year award to Gareth Bale.
Oh, how lucky is this girl even getting?
Unbelievable, isn't it? Brilliant. So what was funny was last week she knew that was going to happen, and she apparently said to her mum, shall I tell them? And her mum said, no, because right, You'll probably get an invite back on the show to tell the story about that. So not only was she going to come on definitely to talk more about Spurs, we're definitely going to get her on to tell us about that story. But what a coincidence. I mean, that I honestly didn't know that. And I mean, that is brilliant. So at the end of the game on the last day of the season, you know, when you stick around, when we're fifth or sixth in the league and we've all got the hump massively, still stick around because young Gemma Stubbles of Hotspur podcast fame will be presenting the award for Player of the Year. Absolutely brilliant. I mean,
it really is. And
actually, I'm starting to dislike Gemma Stubbles a little bit, to be honest with you.
Well, maybe Gemma can do us a big favour when she gets that microphone, and after she's given out the award to Gareth, she can just shout, "Everybody, please listen to the Hotspurs podcast."
That's right.
She can fire it out there to 36,000 people. So, Gemma, that's your test. Yeah. See if you can get that done for us.
If you do that, you can come back on, no problem. Fantastic. Right, let's get into it then. Southampton at home. I tell you what, I hate to say it, but I told you so. And I hate You're to dead, say yep. it, by the way. Go on, mate.
I couldn't believe it, and I know you put it on Twitter as well. Steve, you got it absolutely spot on, mate. And I don't know what to say. I couldn't believe it. Like, I done what I said last week as well. Turned on Soccer Saturday. Who was doing Spurs? Phil Thompson. So I turned it off straight away. went over to BBC. The World Snooker Championship was on. So I had to press the red button. And I had Garth Crooks and things sitting there. And it wasn't the same because I'm just so used to watching the Sky one. But I said, no way, I'm not going anywhere near him. I had my Hotspurs podcast t-shirt on. And the game started. And nothing happened, Steve. And I just couldn't believe it. Because I was positive that my way would have came true. But what you said, mate,
did you crumble and go back to Sky Sports?
No, not once.
I would have done.
No, I didn't go near him once, so I didn't. And I actually went on to Twitter, kept up to date an awful lot on Twitter on it, found it really, really good, really fast. But the only problem with Twitter is there's so many opinions coming in, and you sort of don't know what's going on. But I actually, the goal came first on Twitter, and I just seen it. I just seen goal, Bale, and I just didn't know whether to believe it. And then, obviously, on BBC, you know, they said about the goal, so it was brilliant. But, like, mate, you were at the game. Oh no, sorry, you didn't make the game this week.
Well, let's not divulge. I sent a nice little text to Dan Jones, a few expletives with regards to family friends coming over.
All right.
So I thought me and the fella would be able to sneak off to the game, but unfortunately the wives dictated that we had to miss this one.
Steve, you know, obviously you're like myself, and you watched, you know, football first,
I did watch it live because I've got that dodgy pub up the road I've told you about that we can go and watch all the games. So I watched it. I watched the whole thing, and it was the way of so many games we've seen. You know, before we get into the Spurs aspect of it, don't forget, you know, let's be a little bit positive here. We've seen this from many, many teams. We've seen Man United do this. We've seen Man United, you know, playing these sides, and although they destroy a lot of sides as well, you know, sometimes they're up against, you know, the pressure's on and they need a result, and it does take a while, but they get there in the end. You know, and what do we say at the moment? It's all about getting those results. I mean, I do not know how Arsenal are scrapping these results week in, week out. They go to QPR, they score after 20 seconds, and then I kind of got disinterested after that. I thought it'd be 4 or 5. When I looked again, half an hour to go, and I watched the last half hour, it was all QPR. And it was like, what's going on here? Let's have a bit of luck. Come on. But let's not worry about them. You know, it's all about Spurs, and, you know, we should be doing better. You know, people like Defoe is playing his usual game. You know, he scores that fantastic goal against Man City. And you just think, right, back in the side, come on, do your business. And I really didn't see enough of him. He's got the soppy Cisco hairdo back again. You know, that blonde thing. I mean, I don't know if it's to do with hairdos, but we have got some dodgy old Barnetts in our football team at the moment. You know, we've kind of gone back a little bit with some of these players, Huddleston, and you know, a few others, but it was disappointing to watch because we really, again, like against Wigan, we weren't creating very much. A lot of huff and puff, and credit to Southampton because, you know, they looked so organised. And it was funny because when that Nigel Adkins left and the guy from Argentina came in, you think, you know, cool. You know, was it, how, you know, they don't speak English, how's that going to work out? And in fact, you know, they've been pretty good. But to me, every single team we play, we're very, very similar to. You know what I mean? It's like we're just winning 1-0s or 2-1s or 3-2s. You know, we could play Man United and beat them 3-2, and we can beat, you know, go to Southampton away and narrowly win 2-1. So it's really funny, you know, whereas Chelsea win 3-0s, 4-0s against the lesser sides, we don't seem to do it. But we got the win, and we really, you know, that's what we wanted. And now, you know, it's bring on Chelsea.
It is, you know, as you say, Steve, it was so frustrating, you know, just listening to what was going on and following the game on Twitter and things. But, you know, the disappointing thing was we were at White Hart Lane playing Southampton. And, yes, they've done very well this year, Southampton. But, you know, we should be up for these games. And, as you say, it just seems to be that Spurs way where we never, just never get that break. We don't seem to be able to go and beat these teams 2-3-0 and be comfortable. But, you know, as it went on into the second half, I think we sort of dominated the game slightly more in the second half. And you know, here, thankfully, Gareth Bale pulled out another bit of wonder magic. And I don't care if people want to call us a one team or a one-man team, but what a goal, you know, on the right-hand side, broke right across the box, and an absolute wonder shot again into the bottom left-hand corner. And such relief for us all as Spurs fans that we got the result. And, you know, no matter what anybody says, we've just got to keep concentrating on ourselves. I know it's really, really difficult because we're watching what, you know, Chelsea are doing and what Arsenal are doing and things. But, you know, we got the 3 points. And as you say, I watched the QPR game. You know, they scored after 22 seconds and I just went, I can't believe this. But one thing about it, I watched the whole game. They were not good. They were not good. And yeah, QPR were very unfortunate not to get a draw. So, look, it's not over for them. You know, Wigan tonight have just lost. You know, Wigan have to go to the Emirates and get a result. And, you know, Wigan play some good football.
Yeah.
And also, they've got to go down to Newcastle. And no matter what, I think Newcastle will still be in trouble on the last day. So, you know, it's not going to be easy for them. But, you know, we've just got to hope, Steve, that something just clicks for us here on tomorrow night against Chelsea.
Yeah.
And, you know, fingers crossed, Gareth Bale's on top form, and look, I don't care if we win 1-0 again and Gareth Bale scores.
Yeah, I mean, we
just want that result.
It's not that we have gone on a terrible run. I mean, what did we lose? 3 games or something last month?
Fulham was sort of the worst, you know.
Yeah, like we lost 2 or 3 games, but you know, we've come back, we've won and drawn and what have you. But these other teams, Chelsea and Arsenal, just keep on winning. And it's like, you know, sometimes you get 63, 64 points to get in the Champions League. You're going to need about 72 now. You know, again, it's like last season it was Chelsea Champions League. This year it's we're just going to have to go and beat Chelsea away. You know, there's no easy way around it for Tottenham. We've got to beat Chelsea away, Stoke away, and then Sunderland at home. And you know, that obviously will be enough. You know, look, if we do lose to Chelsea, it's not the end of the world. But you know, when you look at it, Arsenal, what have they won? Their last 20 games or something. You know, what a run they've been on. But like I said to you last week and the week before, I think if it comes down to who deserves it, it really does. Because you look at it with 15 games to go, 10 games to go, and you say, well, Spurs are the playing by far the best football. We're the most entertaining team. Chelsea are in disarray. Arsenal have got a crummy old team, but they dig out results. And we fully deserve it. Now, you've got to say that teams like Chelsea, who just keep on winning, are a quality side. Arsenal, who seem to do this, you know, they come into the last 10, 15 games and they just win. And, you know, this crummy old team seem to just get these results, you know, winning 1-0s away and 2-1s and, you know, all right, they might get the opposition players sent off after 10 minutes and things, have a bit of luck, but they just do it. I mean, and that is, you know, the quality of these sides. And at the end of the day, whoever finishes third and fourth thoroughly deserve it. You can't argue with that.
No, you definitely can't, you know, but it was a bit like Chelsea at Man United. You know, a lot of people slagged United off for their team, but, you know, when I sort of looked at their starting team, it wasn't weak. You know, they still had Van Persie on, you know, Giggs, you know, Valencia, you know, they had a really strong side on, but come on the 82nd minute, I remember watching going, I just knew Chelsea are going to score. I just knew it. And they did. And, you know, it sort of leaves us now where you're going, right, the Chelsea aren't as under as much pressure tomorrow night now because of that win. So does that give us a slight advantage?
Yeah.
You know, then again, then you're looking at it going, well, if they do beat us, then they're guaranteed top four.
Yeah.
Because of their goal difference, you know, they're like 20-odd goals ahead of us. So, you know, they're guaranteed a top four finish if they beat us. So you're sort of looking at that. But, you know, we'll get on to the Chelsea game later on, but it's going to be so, so difficult. We've just got to go there, and as Spurs fans, we've just got to hope that Spurs turn up and have a go at it.
Let's talk about it later. Let's have a quick poem, yeah?
I'll just put one thing in there, which a guy said to me the other day, which I didn't realise, and it was 2 years ago, before we went to Man City. Exactly the same situation we're in today. Before we went to Man City, the game before was Bolton at White Hart Lane. And who scored a scrappy goal towards the end to win 1-0?
Tom Huddleston.
Tom Huddleston, yes. Yeah. And then we went away to Man City. And to be honest, I was feeling the same that night as what I'm feeling now.
And remember the Portsmouth game 3 weeks before that, you know, and we were down in the dumps, weren't we? We were like, where are we going? You know, we've done so well. Then we go to the semi-final, the Portsmouth game, and we look dreadful. And that, yep. Dreadful. And then we come back and we beat, you know, Los Palacios, who was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Then we beat Arsenal, Chelsea, Bolton, Man City, and yep. You know, happy days. But look, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's have a poem from Davey.
I have a mate. His name was McFly. The other night I seen him, but I thought he would just drive by. He stopped in his DeLorean and said, "You coming for a spin?" I said, "Yeah, why not, my friend? Let's find out if we do win." So we flew straight to Wednesday and parked up on the King's Road. We sat and what we witnessed was a Tottenham overload. Huddleston was demanding and totally running the game. The Chelsea fans were singing old Rafa Benitez's name. Bale on the left was just taking the mick. Lennon was proving to Ashley Cole that he is lightning quick. Parker's passing was brilliant and Benny's concentration levels high. Adebayor's first half hat-trick brought teardrops to my eye. 4-0, I can't believe this. Let's get back quickly to the present. I want to go to the bookies. It will be money well spent. So we left. 5 minutes on the clock. I beamed on the following Tuesday. I was walking the Tottenham walk. We had beaten the Chelsea on their own ground. I went to the pub, the first one that I found. I sat and I watched as we went 4 goals up. I even seen us leaving with the Champions League Cup. Then the reality as I sat in my seat, 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, 4-4. Why did I leave with 5 minutes to go? This has turned into a real horror show. And it's the last minute, it's a penalty. The refs got this totally wrong. Frank Lampard gets the record that Tamling had kept for so long. The Tottenham way's a nightmare, and now I'm totally mistraught. McFly told the doc, and he simply replied, "Great Scott."
And we are back. Great poem again, Davey. Back to the future, right?
Back to the future. Now, I just hope it doesn't come true, Davey. That, you know, it's an absolutely brilliant poem again, mate. But, you know, to be there and you went back and Spurs are winning 4-0 and then you left and came back and you went and done your football bet and everything was hunky-dory. And then when it actually happened, yes, we were winning 4-0. But for them to come back to 4-8 and then beat us 5-4 with a penalty, not happy, Davey, about that there. So let's hope it doesn't come true. But great work as usual, mate. Well done.
Yeah. I've just noticed, actually, we do Tottenham, we're going to do it like we did last year.
Yes, I know.
That's so inappropriate, isn't it? Bit of irony. That's why it's in there. Brilliant. Right. Faye Cooper, thank you so much for donating to my Virgin Money Giving page. I just saw it on there. I don't know if you're on Twitter or anything like that, but let us know your details. We'll give you a ring next show or in a couple of weeks whenever you're free. You donated $5, which is absolutely brilliant. We'll give you a ring. You can talk about Spurs on the Hot Spurs podcast. So thank you very much. Andy Goldberg. Now, he is a great guy. I've met him a couple of times. He came and sat with me last year because he donated a few quid for I gave him the ticket and he donated for the marathon last year. And I got a nice kiss at the end of it. He had a few beers. He's a great guy.
Top man.
He did a message and I missed it last week. So let's have a read of it, right? Yeah. I'll do it. Hello, lads. I was at the game yesterday. This is the weekend game. 5 hours travelling and all that. Anyway, to sum up our game, well, it was very poor. No wide play, far too slow in the middle, extremely poor passing. This could probably apply to the Southampton game as well. This was a game that we should have put Wigan to the sword, but yet again we failed to do. Tom Huddleston was an absolute disgrace and should never wear the famous shirt again. He should resign. Yeah, we got a draw, but bringing Lennon on with only 20 minutes was one of the most useless substitutions ever, and he should come on at half time. AVB, take note. But it was our play, and we didn't even look as if we wanted to win. Obviously, you can't take anything away from Wigan, basically, because they stopped us from playing. But we had no answer to that, nothing tactically that we could have changed. I suppose we're still there, but now we have to rely on other results, which is always the way. At the end of the day, Spurs is in my blood, trying to keep the faith, lads. Oh, I did have a great day, and I got nicely drunk, happy days. P.S. Please read on the next show. So we missed that one, but there you go. We've read it out. And like I say, that basically most of it can apply to the Southampton.
Yes.
You know, we've seen that over the years, but like we've said recently, we normally lose these games. We would have lost that Wigan game, and we wouldn't have got that result against Southampton. In fact, that game in Southampton was a classic case of where we're huffing and puffing, few missed chances, their goalkeeper plays a blinder, and then, in fact, they go up and score with 5 minutes to go. So,
yeah,
you know, it was nice to see us nick the winner, you know?
Oh, definitely was. And, you know, it's definitely a big boost. And I say it's in our hands, but, you know, it's this game tomorrow night, Steve, you know, which we'll get into. And it's going to be so, so difficult, and we're all nervous about it. But, you know, I'm trying to think positive, and I'm just going, like, we're a good side. We've got some great players. It's going to be interesting to see if Dembele's fit or Lennon's fit. But, you know, I just want us to go there and have a go at this team. You know, they've been on a great run, but they're not world beaters.
No. Do you want to do fantasy? We're dying to talk about it, but we've got to get the other things out of the way first. You got fantasy football there?
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, like you said last week, Steve, this is my one and only week, and there's only a few weeks left. I'm going to read out the proper top 10.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to name and shame here
Lovely.
Tonight.
Lovely.
Okay, so in first place is James Bird. James has jumped up into first place, but guess what? James has got scum players.
As it happens, so, players.
Know, I think he's got a couple. I can't remember, but I think James might have two. So James Bird has got scum players in his team.
Okay.
Second place is James Wallace. Third is The Money. Guess what? The Money's got scum players in his team.
Now,
I cannot believe it.
He used to do a podcast.
Yeah, he was brilliant. I really used to enjoy it.
It's a shame. Dearie me.
He's got scum players. Fourth is the Spurs poet, Davey. Definitely no scum players.
No.
Fifth is Adam Currier. Guess what? And Adam, I know you listen to the show. I think he's got one now. Theo Walcott.
Dear me.
Dear, Adam.
Where does he live? Is he in Thailand?
No, I think he's in Kuala Lumpur or something.
Is he?
So, Adam, get that sorted. And he's coming over, Steve. So I think he's maybe over for the Sunderland game.
Okay.
And I might be there. So, Adam, I might be looking for you in the Ben Hur, mate.
You'll be able to see him. He's on the
Sixth place, Jonathan Maloney. Seventh, myself, Colin McKee. Eighth, Mark Heritage. Then Billy Nicholson and Martin McDonagh. So that's the top 10. Steve, you're still in 55th place.
Lovely.
You didn't move. Most points this week, very good friend of mine, Stephen Cleary from Donegal, and he got 71 points, so well done, Stephen. It's great to be able to give you a wee shout out on the show, and hopefully I can meet up with you soon.
Fantastic.
And just in the bottom six there is Martin Oak, Lee Townsend, Jackie Hunter, Richard Thompson, Thomas Wedge, and Tommy Brown. So that's fantasy football.
Great. Okay. A couple of things to run through here. We've had, you know, an interesting couple of comments. You know, Chesney, the Arsenal goalkeeper, or should I say the current Arsenal goalkeeper, you know, he's I'll tell you what this guy reminds me of. You know, when you watch those terrible teen movies about, you know, I don't know, some girl who is clearly beautiful, but she's like got glasses on and hair in bunches, and by the end of it, she's actually, oh, wow, she goes to the prom and she's gorgeous. Well, you know, you see a group of jocks at the start, don't you? And this Chesney looks like one of the, not like the main jock guy, but one of his sidekicks. You know, one of these snivelly, snotty-nosed, big-headed idiots who follow the leader. You know, one of these sheep who wear, like, you know, the jock jacket and everything, and laugh at everything the cool jock guy says. You know, and at the end of it, you know, that the cool jock guy who loses out on the girl, you know, ends up punching him in the face or something like that. Well, that's who he reminds me of. You know, an absolute idiot. And he's coming out with this idiot comment. I mean, first of all, mate, get yourself, you know, glued to your team. Get yourself safely as number one of your team before you start making comments. Secondly, play for Arsenal for a good 3 or 4, maybe 5 years before you start having comments about Tottenham. I mean, he made a comment last year about never wanting to play for us. you know, and also, you know, be careful because... although you might be right in terms of if we don't finish in the top five, but saying, you know, we haven't got the quality, you know, you're absolutely brainless. You know, and it worries me a little bit the fact if we don't get top four, did I say top five? Top four. If we don't get top four, that then he can turn around and go, see, I told you so. But, oh my goodness, what, please, yeah. Spurs players, if any Spurs players listen, which they probably don't, or if anybody knows any Spurs players, have a little word with them. Just say, please, never, never say these sort of stupid comments. Because it just makes it look absolutely terrible. I know Adebayor said something a couple of weeks ago about Man City, but Man City, he used to play for Man City, you know, and he's got a bit of beef with Man City. So to say something about Man City, you know, although it's stupid, all right, I can see why he said it. And Chesney, what's he trying to prove there? Arsenal fans don't even like him. You know, they know that he's a make-do goalkeeper and they're going to be massively looking for a goalkeeper in the summer.
Well, that's it. And look, that's why this guy's doing what he's doing. He done it last year with Spurs when he lost his place in the team. He's trying to become some kind of a cult hero for them.
Yeah.
And it's actually his only way of maybe trying to get the Arsenal fans to actually like him.
But I know that most Arsenal fans, if you listen to their podcasts, and you know, I listen to them, so you don't have to, but... You know, they start joking around and saying how rubbish we are and that, but then when they get down to it, they are scared. They are scared.
Oh, yeah. And that's what Chesney's at. But look, the good thing is, you know, there's a lot of Spurs players that are on Twitter that will have seen this. And, you know, hopefully, you know, someone might just pin something on the wall tomorrow night like managers would have done, you know, before in the past. Say, you know, look what this guy's saying about us.
Don't have the quality.
You know, yeah, don't have the quality, guys. You know, what do you think of that? You know, wee bit of an incentive, which they shouldn't need, but give an incentive. Look, I'm not going to waste my breath on that tube, Chesney, or whatever you call him, Chesney Hawks. One thing, sorry, Steve, I will say, and I put it on Twitter or Facebook. If we finish above them this year, I'm going to torture that guy all summer on Twitter. I'm going to follow him, and every day, 5 times a day at least, I'm going to torture him.
Send that quote.
And I am going to torture him.
And even and if they the rest when Arsenal buy a new goalkeeper, do it then as well.
Yeah, and actually just keep torturing him.
Yeah. It's funny actually. One of the podcasts called Arse Blog, which is worth a listen. I mean, all these Arsenal ones are they're not like, I'm not going to say they're like ours. They're completely opposite to ours because they go on about how brilliant they are, and then as you get deeper on, they're like, what about this? What about this? But the Arse Blog was he's clutching at straws. You know way we moan about our luck. And he was going on it. He said, "Oh, the Man City game, Spurs Man City. And have you ever seen, you know, Man City? They make this substitution. They brought on Julian Lescott and they brought on Scott Sinclair. Oh, how lucky were Spurs." So wait there. Didn't you just play Fulham where they had a player sent off after 10 minutes? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the same. Making two substitutions, bringing on two international players. You know, sorry, it's not the same. Talk about clutching at straws with regards to luck. I mean, my goodness.
Oh, dear.
And the other one is AVB, who's saying about, you know, this is our friend Adrian Durham, and after the Chesney comments, he said, AVB, you know, always showing he's under pressure there by responding to it. It's like, how much more pressure do you think, do you want the guy to be under? You know, this guy has come in after Harry Redknapp done so fantastically for us. He's come in, he's really, really lost out at Chelsea. This is his last, you know, possible job in England, big club anyway. Because if he fails at Spurs, you know, the only way is mid-table or lower table. So he's on a massive amounts of pressure. And what was brilliant is he had a listener on today who listed all the things that have gone wrong this season with Spurs in terms of luck, not in terms of, you know, decisions he's made, you know, losing Dembele after we just signed him and losing Bale for several games, you know, not having any penalties. But the list was about 10 different things, you know, loads that I can't even remember now, but it was brilliant. And he came back with, you know, oh, it's funny because you're a Spurs fan. You do realise that it's only Spurs fans that think this, because just about everybody who isn't a Spurs fan thinks that AVB's done a half-decent job at best. And it's like, really? So everybody who's not a Spurs fan thinks that he's done a half-decent job at best. Well, I tell you what, you tell me what would have been a good job. And then when the guys have come back and said, to be honest, at the start of the season, we said, if we finished fifth or sixth, it would be a decent season. And he laughed and he said, what? You are joking with me now. You know the way he says. You're joking with me now. You think it's you think it would have been all right to finish lower than you did last season? And it's like, well, yes. Because Chelsea have just spent another 100 million. You know, Arsenal have strengthened. Man City... I know they lost Van Persie, but Man City's where they are, Man United are where they are, and this is AVB's first season. Of course it would have been okay to finish fifth or sixth in a guy's first season. You know, what, 36 years old?
Yeah,
for
definitely.
For goodness sake. You know, talk about... I mean, I thought Spurs fans were desperate for success. Adrian Durham's like, yeah, you can have half a season and that's it, and then you're out the door.
It was great. One wee thing about him that I enjoyed on Saturday was, did you realise Peterborough got relegated in the last minute?
Oh, that was joyful.
I just enjoyed sending him a little tweet, so I did.
Yeah.
And I just told him, Adrian, I think you've got a few more things to worry about than slagging off Spurs and AVB.
He's not said one positive thing about Spurs all season.
All season,
not one. And he even came out with, shouldn't they be higher than they are, considering they've got Gareth Bale, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, wait there. What you're saying, Man United, Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal haven't got any decent players? Uh-huh. Is that what you're saying? I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. But anyway, look, let's get into Chelsea then. I think that if we lose, then we certainly don't deserve to be third. You know, Chelsea deserved to be third because that would have meant that Chelsea beat us home and away. And if we finish, if we get a draw, that's a decent result. You know, that's a decent result. It's not what we want, but it's decent. It means we're a point behind Arsenal. And, you know, we've got two games to go, you know, and we'll see what happens. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world, in fact, if we lose, but we certainly won't get third. And there are two games left, so you know, let's not go crazy. And like I say, in the last two games, you know, if Arsenal win their last two games, they deserve fourth. It's as simple as that. You know, if we lose to Chelsea, and then you know, that means we're 2 points behind with two games left. If Arsenal win those last two games, they deserve it. We don't. It's as simple as that. You know, it's a shame, but there we go.
You're right. I'm trying to keep a positive spin on things about it, but I've also, you know, thought about what happens if we lose. And this is where I'm trying to keep myself calm. You know, it's not the end of the world if we do lose. As you say, there's still two games to go. You know, Arsenal have got Wigan at home. I know it's 2 days after the FA Cup final.
Don't even contemplate anything else.
You know, they lost it last year, but the big one is, I put it on Facebook, the big game is Newcastle.
Yeah.
No matter what, they've got to go to St James's Park, and I watched them against QPR. It is not going to be easy for them. Yeah. That Newcastle crowd will be bouncing on the last day of the season, so they will be up for it. Our biggest thing is, I honestly, I'll be absolutely honest here, I do think we'll lose tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chelsea will beat us, but I do think we'll go and we'll beat Stoke and we'll beat Sunderland.
Yeah. Or we could beat Chelsea and lose to Stoke.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me either. You know, it wouldn't surprise me, but I honestly think we'll lose to Chelsea, then we'll beat Stoke, and it'll be getting into the last game of the season, and Arsenal will be under massive pressure.
Yeah.
And no matter what results happen, Newcastle will need a result that day, because they cannot risk losing to Arsenal in case Wigan win.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all to play for. So what I'm just trying to put out there is, it's not the end of the world tomorrow night, guys, if we do get beat. I know we're all going to be devastated. I just hope we go out and play the way we can play.
Yeah.
I would hate us to go out, Steve, and perform the way we've done against Wigan and against Southampton. As Andy said in his message, you know, where we, players didn't look interested, you know, and, you know, we weren't using the width and doing what we can do. We've got Gareth Bale there, one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
Let's use this guy and, you know, let's go at this team. There's no reason we can't go and get a result.
Yeah, this is the big one, lads. I mean, they've been holding back, I think, in my opinion. They've been holding back. You know, this is the game, you go for it. All guns blazing. You know, let's really, really go for it. And, you know, what's your team? So, obviously, Lloris in goal. You go Benny left back.
Yeah.
Walker right back. Vertonghen. Dawson. Midfield. Why wasn't Parker playing against Southampton? Was he injured or?
I think he might have been injured.
You go.
Yeah, I reckon he probably.
You go Parker Dembele or Huddleston Dembele?
I would go Parker.
Yeah.
Parker Dembele if Dembele's fit.
Yeah.
If not, then I would play Huddleston. It might be a game form and maybe a bit of space out there to pass the ball about.
Or if Parker's not available, Livermore or Huddleston.
I'd go Huddleston.
Yeah, I probably
just because
would.
Because he's played there.
And
just because he's played there last few games.
And I'd tell him, you know, and I don't care how big he is, I'd get my hands on his shirt, and I'd just go, listen, mate. I'd go crazy at him. I'd show us what you can do. Show us what you can do.
Yeah.
it's funny to say Bale on the left, Lennon on the right, because they never play that way. But obviously,
yeah.
Lennon. And then, what, Dempsey and Defoe?
To be honest with you, I'd play Adebayor. I think Adebayor, come on, we didn't mention him in Southampton. And I know he wasn't fantastic, but I spoke to Dan Jones, who was at the game, and Dan said, you know, to be fair to him, he come on, put himself about. And he did create some gaps and you know, put the Southampton defence under a bit of pressure. So
Why don't we go 4-4-2?
Defoe, Bale
on the left. Defoe and Adebayor up front. I mean, that is a frightening team. I think that's a brilliant team.
So do I. I don't see why not.
Really good.
And even, you know, if he doesn't, Sigurdsson even coming back into the team there. You know, Siggy was playing well there for a while. Dempsey, you know, look at the goals. Dempsey scored the important goals.
Mm, bring him on.
Yeah, bring him on from the bench. Or as Gary Neville, as was said that week, bring him on the left.
Yeah.
You know, you could even, if you leave Jermaine Defoe maybe even out of the starting lineup and go Adebayor on his own up front with Gareth Bale roaming all round him.
Yeah.
And play Dempsey on the left and Lennon on the right.
And tell him
to blooming well go for it. Definitely. Yeah. The biggest thing I don't want tomorrow night is for at the end of the game must to be beat 2-1 or 2-0 or 3-1.
Yeah.
And I sit and go, we didn't even look like.
I'll tell you what we haven't discussed. We haven't discussed what is actually going to happen, which is with about 20 minutes to go, across the bottom of the screen, it goes breaking news, you know, Vertonghen's mum's doing something where he has to all of a sudden fly back to Belgium, you know, not ill or anything, but just he has to go and do something. And then, or we have a player sent off after 6 minutes, you know, or Frank Lampard hits the bar and it crosses the, you know, it doesn't cross the line, but they all go, oh, great for Frank Lampard, because remember the one against Germany, and we'll all be going, yeah, but he already got that back.
I'll give you another thing which will probably happen, and I'm sure you've noticed the last few games with Chelsea. Guess who's going for the record of Chelsea goals? Frank Lampard.
I'll tell you what will happen then. He'll get the first goal. It'll be 1-0 to them, half time. Then we'll come out, second half, we'll win 2-1. There we go. That's my prediction.
Oh, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Nath. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be very, very tough for us. But you just never know. And look, we went to Old Trafford. I was there. I went that day with my fingers, toes, everything crossed, and did not expect it. And we were brilliant. So there's no reason we can't go and beat Chelsea. And it'll be interesting to see what team Benitez picks as well, because I think Hazard will be back. I hope that he doesn't play Hazard, Mata and Oscar. I hope he puts like a Mikel or somebody in there, or a Ramirez, because I think the three quick players, they tore us apart at White Hart Lane, really, those three. So I would like to think that hopefully he won't have them, and it'd probably be Demba Ba, maybe up front, you know, Torres. Or no, he started against United, so he might go with Torres. So it's going to be interesting. But just got to hope we can do it, mate. Just got to hope.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, Spurs.
Come on, Spurs.
Just do it for us for once.
Come on, please. Please. Come on, you Spurs.